Father, as we move into our time in the Word, I pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher. Unlock the precepts of your Word. Unlock the precious nuggets that will sustain us. Unlock the things that will refine us. Unlock the things that will strengthen us. Unlock the things that will bring truth and healing to our lives. Unlock your Word to us. Unlock your Word to us, Lord. May we see the beauty and the wonder found in your Word. May we never lose the wonder. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. We talked about this last week, but I'm going to go ahead and read it again, and then we're going to go on and through the rest of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end of grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We talked about girding up the loins of your mind, preparing your mind for action. We talked about that last week. And as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust of our ignorance. Before we come to Christ, we live a life of ignorance. We don't know what we don't know, right? When I would go back east to see my family, you don't know what you don't know. I remember hearing that. It didn't make sense to me. But in our ignorance, we don't know the sin that we're living in until the reality of that sin comes before us. To the consequences of that sin comes before us. The conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we hear the gospel. I talked about this last night on a corporate line. We've forgotten what we've been saved from. So much of the church, they either don't know or they've forgotten what they've been saved from. A life of eternity in hell for the sins that they walk in. And because we aren't teaching the depth of what that means, because we aren't teaching and training people, because we aren't discipling people to understand what that means, they stay in their former lusts. They don't even truly come to an understanding of what they've been saved from. So how would they come out of the former lusts that they've walked in? How would they know to be holy as he is holy? How would they understand that if we don't teach them? If we don't properly disciple them? If we don't pull out the word and dig deep into the word and give them the instructions, the hard-hitting facts found in the word of God, those facts that separate us from him, those facts that draw us to him. How will they know? How will they know how to be holy if we don't teach them how to be holy? We're inundated day in and day out with sin, with corruption, with vile images, with terrible language, with hatred, seething, oozing out of media sources. Every media. When we say media, I don't mean just the news. I mean every media source, from Hollywood to the news to Facebook to Twitter to Google, the internet, music. It all encompasses media. And it is oozing with hatred day in and day out, provoking people to wrath. Isn't that what the Bible says? They'll be provoked to wrath. And we are in the last days when people are being provoked to a level of wrath I never thought I'd see. I never thought I would see this level of hatred in my lifetime. Now, here's the thing. There was this level of hatred. When Hitler came, he was very charismatic. The people wanted him to be their leader. He was very charismatic. They liked him. The people in his own country didn't really understand what was going on in the concentration camps. I watched a video yesterday on this very thing. That for years, people were brought on trains and they were carted into these concentration camps and smoke billowed from the camps. Smoke representing the burning flesh of the victims of that Holocaust. And the citizens that lived in the town nearby didn't even understand what was taking place. After the war, it was a requirement that they go through the camp and see what took place. And I watched footage of the people before they went in. And their hearts were just jolly. They were just kind of laughing and smiling. It's black and white, grainy footage, you know. As they went into the camp to see what they did not know. And as they came out, they were weeping because they didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't know the hatred that was in their own country. They didn't know that it was being provoked in their own country. They didn't know. Would they have fought if they did? He kept them shielded. Information was funneled to people, the information that he wanted funneled to people. The lies were spread. A culture of hatred was birthed under Hitler. And they didn't even know it. They were trained to hate people. They were trained to see them as villains. They were trained to see those that were actually the victims as the villains. And we see that taking place today in our very own country. When those people came out of those concentration camps after learning the truth about what happened, they wept. Some of the ladies were stumbling in their grief because they didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't know the severity of what was taking place. They're trying to breed that here in our country. They're trying to breed it world round. They're trying to provoke. You can ask many of our children today, and they don't even know. They know the Holocaust was a bad thing. They don't know who Hitler is. They don't know. They don't understand what took place. Why? Because it's been scrubbed from our textbooks. And anti-Semitism is on the rise. If we don't teach people what they don't know, we will repeat it. as leaders in the body of Christ, if we don't teach people the truth, they will succumb to the lie. That's the way it works. If they don't have truth to combat the lie, they will succumb to the lie. They'll succumb to it. They'll just embrace it. They'll take whatever the media releases to them, and they will eat it up. And it will transform who they are from the inside. It's up to us as leaders in the body of Christ to continue to bring truth to the deception of the media. That's the call. That's the call. Our brother warned his daughter years ago the danger she was on, the danger of the path that she was on. And she didn't listen. It took almost 10 years to recover from that. 10. She didn't know what she didn't know, but the Lord tried to warn her through her father. And she didn't heed the warning. My heart is so heavy today. It's been heavy all week over the reality of where we are today and so few people releasing the truth of the Word of God because they're afraid. They fear man more than they fear God because a culture of hatred has been ignited. In all the country, you can have one person wear a MAGA hat and get beat up. You know, tens of thousands of people wear MAGA hats, MAGA shirts, because they love to see what our president is doing for our country. But one person happens to get beat up by Antifa, and that is splashed across every media source. Why? To provoke fear in people of supporting someone who is releasing righteousness into our country, paving the way for the church to step into righteousness. Because the church hasn't been walking in righteousness for decades. For decades, we've released a watered-down gospel. For decades, we've succumbed to the restrictions put on us that aren't even legitimate restrictions. Because we feared man over God. So we failed to release the truth. Do you know the judgment that is going to come on those pastors who failed to release the truth to their congregation? They have been brought into their care. They received the lie. They released the lie. Do you know what awaits them on Judgment Day? Because they did not heed the Word of God and release the truth contained therein. Their level of accountability will be so much higher than those sitting in their pews. Because at one point in time, they knew the truth. And they did not convey it to their people. Their people didn't know what they didn't know. We see the same thing taking place with abortion. People don't know what they don't know, right? You can go and you can ask people. I've watched several videos because I speak on abortion. I speak against it so often. Of people as they watch an animated version of an abortion taking place. And when they learn that, A, that heart is beating at 6 weeks, they're shocked. When they learn that when most abortions are performed, when that baby is sucked from its mother's womb, that the nerves in that baby are at a heightened sense. And that baby feels every bit of pain. that being ripped apart limb from limb would bring. They're devastated. People that would support a woman's right to choose, which is a feminist, elitist, Rockefeller-driven line, lie, let's just be clear. When they come to know the truth, their hearts change. Never should an abortion be done. I watched an interviewer in New York, actually, go around and show on an iPad a video of it taking place with a baby that was at 11 or 12 weeks gestation. Some had tears. Some who initially said, oh, it's a woman's right to choose all the way through. When they watched that video, they went from, at any point in their pregnancy, a woman has a right to choose, to it should never be allowed. Maybe it's just the morning after pill. It should never be allowed. Why? Because they didn't know what they didn't know. And now, when the truth is brought forth, their hearts are broken. They are repentant. And they have turned from the path that they were on, believing a woman's right to choose had nothing to do with the life that lived in her womb. And the moment they understood it, they were broken that they ever considered that a viable option. You see, when we release truth into someone's life, the Bible tells us what? That we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. We set them free. Not to go through the tulips dancing and singing, but free from the sin that they were under. Free from the things that kept them bound. Free from the things that will drag their soul to hell. When we speak truth to them, when our conversation is holy, when our conversation releases the truth found in the Word of God to them, it breaks the bondage of deception that's over their hearts, over their minds. And the truth, even though it's hard to hear, even though it's hard to swallow, it ultimately sets them free from the bondage that they were in as they believed the lie. So when Peter says to gird up the loins of your mind, prepare your minds for action, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are revelations. When you release truth into people, you release the revelation of Jesus Christ because he is truth, right? He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. The Word came and dwelt among us. The Word, the expression of God. When we release the Word into the earth, when we release the Word into people, if we jump on down to verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That word is logos, the expression and the thoughts of the Father. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, the rhema of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word, the rhema, by which the gospel is preached unto you. This word is the word that preaches Christ. So we have the expression of the Father that came down and the rhema that's been left with us. for us to release in the earth. That's our responsibility. He said, gird up your minds for action. He's saying, get up, get out, and preach the rhema. Release the rhema. Release the truth. In him there is no guile, there is no deception. Jesus was straight forth with people. He gave them the truth. And when their hearts were hardened, or when they were incapable of receiving the depth of truth that he would bring, he gave them parables. And he released the truth of that into his disciples, who would one day, what? Release the truth of those teachings into the body of Christ. We think we get saved, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we go to church, and there our responsibility ends. But that isn't where our responsibility ends. Our responsibility as a child of the living God is to gird up our minds for action, and get out there and release rhema into the earth. Release truth into the earth. Release the gospel message. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are not without hope. Why? Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 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 The rhema brings life. We don't know what we don't know. And if we didn't know what we didn't know, and if those young people watching videos of abortion didn't know what they didn't know, and if those adults who lived and watched smoke come from the smokestacks outside of the concentration camps didn't even know that was the remains of millions until they knew it. What makes us think that those that we come into contact with know the gospel, know the truth, know the word of God, when they haven't read it, when they haven't been taught, when it hasn't been poured into their lives, unlocked the scriptures, the depth of the meaning of it, the ignition switch? Are we an expression of the Father? Can we ask ourselves that every day? Can we close our day with, have I been an expression of the Father, Jesus, who we are supposed to be like, right? We're supposed to put off the world and put on Christ. We're supposed to be like him. That's what Paul said. That's what we learned in our studies on Paul's teachings. If we put off the world, we put on Christ, we're supposed to be like Christ. Can we close out our day saying, was I an expression of the Father to those I came in contact with today? Did I express their love to them, his love to them? Did I bring truth into the darkness of their lives? Did I help them understand that he came that they might have life? Did I help them understand that they're a sinner and they need him to have that life? Did I teach them what they didn't know? Was I willing to lay down my life for them? And that doesn't mean to get up on a cross. That doesn't mean to be shot in the head because you're a Christian. That doesn't mean to be beheaded. That means, did I lay down my flesh, my pride, my self-will, my own desires? Did I lay that aside? For them to be an expression of the Father's love for them. Did I do that today? Did I do that? Did I help them to know that they were redeemed with the blood of Christ? Did I let them know that they were part of His plan? And that on this day in history, they were designated to receive the gospel message and make a decision. Did I express to them love? Love. You know, we see infidelity on the rise. We see immorality on the rise. We see teenagers are out there conducting themselves like adults because they're looking for love. They've been taught, the educational system does this, all the media sources do it. How do you get love? You have sex. That's how you get, give, and show love. That's love right there. That's the epitome of love. And that is a sad, sad, sad tale. That is a sad tale. They just want to be loved. Did we show them the love of the Father? Did we demonstrate to them how He cares for them? Did we let them know that they're not alone in this world? That there's hope. I know this is a lot of questions, but this has been on my heart this week so heavy, the reality of where we stand today. The Christian is almost extinct. Do we realize that? We've got the underground church in China. And under the persecution, it grows. But we see the uproars taking place. You can feel it. The earth is preparing for it. It's a living, breathing thing that's taking place in China right now. As they try to extinguish the last bit of light that's in their nation. Here in America, Christians are mocked. I read today from the AC, Jay Sekulow. He's defending a woman, a Christian, who put in the bottom of her email, "Jesus loves you." She's a realtor. And she is being accused. Let me pull that up so I can read it and I don't get this wrong. A state agency targeted, harassed, and discriminated against a Christian realtor, Hadessa Carter, simply for putting a Bible verse, John 3:16, on her website and including "Jesus loves you" in her email signature. The Virginia State Agency actually required her real estate broker to watch and report her religious speech at her job. Talk about targeted discrimination. They're trying to make us extinct here, you know. And it's up to us to put down, to lay down our life, to not give in to the fear that they're trying to drive into us, not give in to the hate that they're trying to provoke in our nation, but to rise up as vessels of light. Mom talked about light over the course of, you know, several weeks ago. I think she did 4 or 5 weeks. I talked about the light last year. We are called to be vessels of light. What are vessels of light? Those who contain the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are the expression of the Father. Those who release the rhema word wherever they go. Those are vessels of light. And the brighter your light shines, that means the less of the world we have and the more of Him we contain. The more we can cut through the darkness, the more we will pierce the darkness. I consider little John in that vision I have of him. Every time I pray for him, every single time, it never changes. He's young, and he's walking, and he is in complete darkness. But every step he takes, he brings the light of the living God forth. He cuts through. His physical frame is cutting through the darkness with the light of the living God. Because God is depositing into him. Even now, when it may not seem like it, God is depositing his light into his life. And the day that God breaks him free, he will pierce the darkness with a profound and unbelievable light, something not seen before in this earth. It's so bright. It is a stark black with a stark white every time. That's the path God has for him. That's the path his parents are praying him into. That's the thing that we're fighting for when we pray for him. It's so much more than seeing our child free. It is about the destiny of that child and what he will release in the earth. It's about the refining and the depth of refining and purification that God has done in the parents. And it's about their impact in the body of Christ and ultimately their impact in the nation. Do you see how important it is that we step into our call, that we step into, that we consistently gird our minds for action, prepare ourselves? I talked about this last week, how the Pharisees, they wore the long robes, and when they had to get quickly from one place to the next, they would just lift the back of that robe up and they'd tuck it in their belt so they could go, and you know, before pants came along. That's what they did. Gird up, go, quick, you got to move, and you can't be tripping over your gown. He's saying every single morning, every single day, get up, gird yourself for the day at hand, because you don't know who you are going to come into contact with, who you yourself are going to impact in a way that will forever change their life, because they didn't know what they didn't know before they met you that day, and God has already ordered their steps from the day they were born to the day that they would come face to face with you and you would release the rhema into their lives. The rhema word brings life. It brings light. It brings deliverance. And it carries with it forgiveness for judgment day. Why? Because they come to terms with who they are in the flesh so that they can shed off the old man and step into the new man and into the light that is Christ. New believers are so precious because they're so excited to share what set them free. They're hungry to share it because they finally have this burden. The true believers and ones that have come to terms with the sinner that they were, that are living under the conviction of that sin, and they don't even know why. Their conscience is riddled with guilt. But when they come to the knowledge, it's because they are a sinner and they have broken the laws set before us. Very reasonable set of laws. Very reasonable. Honor God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, don't kill them. Don't steal from them. Don't lie from them. Don't covet their wife. And don't commit adultery. You know, don't kill them. Those are pretty basic, pretty easy guidelines for us. But for some reason, this fleshly nature that we have can't seem to abide by them. We stumble, we trip, we fall. And those who defile the temple that God has given us over and over again carry the weight of it. So when they come to terms with the reality of their sin and God sets them free and they know what they've been saved from, you see, it's their soulless nature crying out, I am wretched, 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 and I just need someone to help me get free. I need to know. What is the path? They don't even know what they don't know. But the minute you bring truth to them, the minute you bring rhema into their lives, God cuts through. He cuts through the sin that they've been encapsulated in, and he rescues them. And when they know that they know that that judgment has been passed and they've been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, they walk with such a freedom and an excitement. They will tell everyone about Jesus. When my aunt got saved, wretched sinner. You know, we're all a bunch of wretched sinners, you know. We are. Let's just face it. We're all a bunch of wretched sinners. But my aunt loved Jesus so much. I remember because I had just gotten saved and my mom wasn't yet saved. So, and my aunt lived with us and took care of me while my mom worked. And there was a little bit of tension going on because my aunt was saved and she loved Jesus. She was at church every time the doors were open. Every time she opened her mouth, she was talking about Jesus. It irritated my mom so much. My mom has shared this before. It's so funny, actually, when you think about it. Well, praise Jesus, my aunt would say, and my mom would just be seething. But she was a new believer, excited, because she was set free from the bondage her sin brought her. Set free. She didn't know what she didn't know. And when she found out, she grabbed hold of the freedom. She grabbed hold of it. And she didn't let anything change her. You listen to her voicemail, and her voicemail says, this day is a gift from God. What you do with it is your gift to God. That's her voicemail. Leave a message. 40 years later, that's her voicemail. She had every opportunity to turn from God as she's watched her son suffer and go through more surgeries than you thought humanly possible over the course of 20 years. But this day is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to God. That's still what she says. That's still how she feels. And that's what she releases when she meets people. She still has a zeal for Jesus. Because she knows what he set her free from. She hasn't lost the wonder of who God is. She girds herself up every day. Because she knows. Each day is a gift. By golly, she's going to lead everyone to the Lord that she possibly can. She was that way 40 years ago. She's that way today. That's the place God calls us to. The place that we help others come away from the things. We bring exposure to the sin. We help them know what they didn't know. And then we give them the solution, the answer, the truth. We don't water it down. No, don't worry. It's just your ticket to heaven. We don't do that. Because we don't only have to accept Christ. We have to repent and turn from our wicked ways. The same prayer we pray for the nation must be for ourselves and for every sinner that comes to Christ. We repent, right? And turn from our wicked ways. We don't water our gospel down. We give it like it is. You're a sinner, you're going to hell without Christ. There's pretty basic laws, and you've likely broken every one of them. But because he died for you, he was Logos, you know, he came. The expression of the Father, so that I could give you the Rhema word today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you could come into the kingdom and be transformed. We don't do political correctness here. I read an article today. They're trying to redefine repeat criminals in San Francisco. And instead of calling them repeat offenders, they're just returning residents. They want to rework the language. What is up with that? Returning resident. What does that say? We're expecting you to come back. Yes, go ahead and continue to commit your crimes. We'll keep the light on. Political correctness is destroying our country. It's destroying people. It minimizes sin. You did wrong. You committed a crime. Stop breaking the law and you won't have to go to prison where you have no freedom. They might as well put them up. Welcome, madam, out there. I can't even wrap my head around the mindset. We don't want the criminals to feel bad about being in jail. You know what that sounds like? The thing that they have had so many pastors sign that says if we ever have martial law and we need to bring people together, you know, for their safety. We have these
places set up for you, and we're going to bring you all in. Now, we are going to have to confiscate all guns because it wouldn't be safe in such a small space, and your Bibles, because that wouldn't be safe in such a small space. And we're going to need you not to really talk about God, except that, you know, God is behind this, what we're doing here. That sounds like a concentration camp to me. That sounds like a repeat. That sounds like they're trying to cage us up for something, like the smokestacks in Auschwitz. Political correctness waters down the gospel. It waters down the truth. It herds people, and it hurts people. It causes us not to be critical thinkers. It causes us not to analyze what they're doing. It causes us not to want to rise up and fight against these laws. It keeps us from speaking out against abortion. It keeps us from fighting against human trafficking. It keeps us from fighting against homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sin. Did you hear of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you know how many warnings God had given them before he finally decimated that city, those two cities? There's evidence. Scientific archaeologists have dug down through the sand, and they have found 10 feet of glass underneath the sand. Do you know how hot it has to burn? That's evidence that the judgment of God came on that city. Why? Because of homosexuality. But, church, we don't want to make them feel bad for their sin. Oh, wait, that's not a sin. It's a lifestyle. We don't want to make them feel bad for their life choices. Oh, wait, it's not a choice. They were born that way. So they were born that way. Now they're just being them. We don't want to make them feel bad for being them. So open up the doors and marry them on the same platform in front of the same pulpit. You're supposed to be teaching the Word of God that says that men should not lay with other men. Do you see the dangers of what you don't know and what it can do to a soul? It will drag that soul to hell. When we gird up our minds for action, when we seek the Lord and we understand the truth of us being and releasing the Rhema word everywhere we go, cutting through the darkness, the deception that the enemy has. We can help people come to know what they didn't know and be set free. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in your word. Thank you, Lord God, that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings forth deliverance in our lives. It cuts away the things that are not of you and leaves the things that will strengthen us in you. Father God, I thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us, that we might have everlasting life, and we repent that we have sinned against you. Every day, Lord God, and we assess our life and retain a repentant heart before you, that pride will not well up, but Father God, that we would lay before you repentant of our own sins, understanding the sins of not only ourselves, our church, and our nation, and the effect it has in the body of Christ. We lay that before you, O God. We ask that you would keep it ever present before our lives, that we would not forget, Lord God, in Germany, Lord. They require, their students are required to go through the concentration camps. Every student. It's mandatory. Why? Because they don't want to repeat what they did. They don't want to fall victim to a sweet-talking ruler who will eventually drive them through with fear and lead them out in decimating millions of people. They don't want to repeat history. Father God, until that Rhema word comes, we don't know what we don't know. So if there's any wicked way in us, oh God, we ask every day that you would expose it, that we might be set free. You would give us the grace to receive it and to lay it at your feet. That you would help us, Lord God, be vessels of your gospel. Be the Rhema word, Lord God, going forth to help set others free. That you would give us the strength and the courage to know that we are saving their soul from eternal damnation. Laying down our lives for their sake. Help us, Lord. Help us be what you created us to be. Help us. Help us be the strong warriors that you've created us to be. Help us, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.